Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My guest on 99.5 The Mountain is Ian Anderson. I'm sure you recognize his work from Jethro Tull, lead singer and flautist for the band. Ian is at Red Rocks this Friday with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Ian, just a few months back, you released the Jethro Tull String Quartet album, which is a collaboration between you and the Carducci Quartet. What was the inspiration behind choosing to work with them?
Well, it was initially a collaboration, really, between me and our keyboard player, John O'Hara, who is a classically trained musician, and so he's worked with orchestras and choirs and things over the years, and so we thought it would be a nice idea to extend the kind of orchestral concerts that we sometimes do doing a dedicated string quartet piece using some of the classic Jethro Tull material and without drums and bass and electric guitars and things, just the quartet, you know, with a little bit of input from me playing some flute and singing the odd bit and strumming a guitar. So that started off at the early part of last year, just John and I working together in hotel rooms and backstage.
Of course, longtime Jethro Tull fans and Colorado residents probably remember the infamous Jethro Tull show at Red Rocks, sometimes known as the Tear Gas Show, in 1971. What in particular do you remember about that that evening?
Well, I remember it quite well because it was a concert that we were anticipating. Unfortunately, there were quite a number of people who didn't have tickets who went up the mountain anyway just to try and get in, and had an altercation with the forces of law and order, who decided to unleash weapons of mass destruction in their general direction, and it all got very ugly. And we attempted to go up to do the show, knowing there was some major problems up there because it was on the radio, and the police stopped us from going. They wouldn't let us go up there. They said, you can't play, you know, turn around, go back. Anyway, we decided to run the roadblock and head off up the mountain, hotly pursued by squad cars, jumped out. And, I insisted on going on stage to calm the audience because, you know, the 8,000 people inside as well as 1,000 people outside decided to riot. It would have got really, really very, very bad. So I managed to calm everybody down, the police and the audience inside. But the tear gas was a big problem, and all of us suffered somewhat from that. But, the show, as they say, has to go on, and we did it. But the cops weren't too happy, and they were attempting to nail us on the way back down, and we had to hide in unmarked station wagons under a blanket. Anyway, we made it, and I was a little worried about going back to Denver after that, thinking there's a few people on the Denver police force who might, be ill-disposed to us for whatever reason. But it actually turned out to be quite the reverse. This was just one of those unfortunate things at a time when I don't think people really understood crowd control. They didn't know how to manage a situation, and it was just so easily became volatile, and the crowd would taunt the police, and it's very difficult. You know, if you're there trying to do your job, and you've got some people spitting at you and yelling obscenities and calling you a pig, which was the popular taunt back then, it was very unpleasant. And, my attitude has always been, try to keep the peace, try and smooth things over, but sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't.
My guest on the mountain is Ian Anderson from the band Jethro Tull. He is at Red Rocks this Friday with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Ian, back when Jethro Tull was getting started, did it seem like a fairly radical idea, I guess, to have a rock band that in some ways was very rooted in classical music? Did those two things seem at odds back in the late 60s, early 70s?
Well, it probably seemed a little radical from the outside. Indeed, one of our managers back then was quite adamant that the flute had no place whatsoever in a blues rock band. I stuck to my gun and said, listen, there's another band, there's no other band playing at the Marquee Club or around the UK that sports a flute as a as a lead instrument. And so I think what we need is to be different to everybody else, not just be another guitar-based band. So I managed to persuade him, and then finally, I suppose the audience picked up on it, and that was the point of difference. You got to try and make your mark by being who you are, not by imitating other people.
On this latest release, Ian, the Jethro Tull String Quartet album, you've taken some very well-known Jethro Tull pieces from the back catalog and rearranged them stylistically to fit into an entirely new format with the Carducci Quartet. Were there any songs that you found surprisingly difficult to turn into that new quartet format, or maybe surprisingly easy?
I suppose the ones that are the most nerve-wracking were Locomotive Breath and Aqualung, because they're really rock songs, and John O'Hara did quite a radical job on Aqualung by turning it into a classical fugue in terms of its construction. But melodically and harmonically, it's recognizable to people, I think, as the track Aqualung, but it starts off, you know, with very much the classical overtones. Locomotive Breath starts off with a big cello cadenza, which evolves into a fairly rhythmic version of the tune. But you know what I did with some things, since rather than play the melody on the flute, I gave the first violin the melody, and I played a harmony part on the flute or a counter melody. So you try to avoid doing the obvious thing all the time.
Okay, Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. We look forward to seeing you at Red Rocks this Friday with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Best of luck with the new release, the Jethro Tull String Quartet album, and enjoy Red Rocks on Friday. Thanks for your time.
Great. Well, thank you very much indeed. Good to talk to you. See you soon. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.